שלום לכולם ולכולן, פרק מספר 82 של חוזק חבית, פודקאסט וויסקי שלא לוקח את עצמו יותר מדי ברצינות, ואם אתם עוקבים אחריי בפייסבוק, אז ראיתם שכשפרסמתי את פרק 81, סיפרתי שיש עוד פרק שיקרה השבוע, שהוא פרק ראיון, ועכשיו אני הולך לעבור לאנגלית. Hello everyone and welcome to episode number 82 of Cask Strength, a whiskey podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. And today I have the honor and privilege of having the author of a book we're going to talk about soon, Alexei Nearonov. That's the way?
Yes, yes. Right. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And I will start by asking you to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Yeah, so my name is Alexei Nearonov. I'm a scholar of whiskey. Before that, in parallel with my whiskey as a hobby, I worked as a CEO of FMCG company in Russia. And so whiskey became my hobby maybe 10 or 12 years before, not so long period. And the point for that was that I was not believing in marketing tales which whiskey producers were telling to consumers. So I was not consuming whiskey in general. I preferred cognac or something like that. But then once I had a lot of bottles which were gifted to me. So I presented them to my friends also without any regret. That was quite a good whiskey. Now I'm regretting that.
That was my next question. any bottle you gave someone, yeah, and now you say, yeah, oh, yeah, how did I give that?
A lot of bottles. A lot of bottles. Okay. But then I was not drinking for a year or something like that, completely nothing, just staying dry. And then I tried the whiskey because I took a bottle of whiskey with me for hunting. And that was a shock because I found everything which marketers told me about vanilla, peat smoke, sweetness, toffee, all that stuff. So I decided that maybe something wrong and I should prove that there is no something like that, that still I am dominated by some ideas which are pushed into my mind, something like that. And I started to try a lot of different whiskeys. Then I made a club, a tasting club, just to share with my friends to understand their seeing on the same drinks, whether they see the same things which I see. And then I started to travel distilleries. So
I would like to stop now for a question. So is it right, if I understand correct, you arrived to drinking whiskey already with an experienced palate? You had cognac, you drank many things, so you started drinking whiskey, but your senses were already sharp, let's say.
I think that the point that I didn't drink anything for a year, that was very interesting thing which made my palate sharp, but basically I never thought about that specifically. I mean that I didn't know whether I have a good palate or bad palate or something like that. I just felt what I felt, and that was very interesting for me to discover that mm-hmm. that taste. Okay. And the more, of course, the more experience I had, the more I tasted, the more shadows of that taste I was able to see, to understand, to feel, and that was also very fascinating. And experience
in the local market in where you were born in Russia.
Yes.
Okay. And you still live there.
Yes. I just to write my book, I moved to Croatia for more than a year, mm-hmm. and I spent a nice time near the sea just writing my book. But basically, yes. And for that period, a lot of nice whiskies were available in general, not only in Russia but in the world. Now we have some shortage still. But at that period, you could easy access to nice mm-hmm. whiskeys.
So in the Russian market, how big is whiskey? How much whiskey is available to you? is it like so in Israel we have a very big variety, but not as big, let's say, as in, of course, the UK, but also France or Germany.
If to speak about Russian market, the situation was different 2 years ago and 10 years ago. Anyhow, the main segment is still something cheap, and especially now, and people maybe that's basically in all countries, people who appreciate single malt whiskies, who like whiskey as a digestive, just to appreciate the taste and to analyze it, to feel all the picture which they can get. It's not a lot of people, so it's a kind of thin community which is interested in very special things. But big major alcoholic companies, they always care about that kind of people, like Diageo issuing special releases of or distillers editions or something like that. And if you're interested in that, you can always grab something, you can try, you can find it. If not, you can be satisfied with the ordinary malts or ordinary blends, nothing wrong with that. But now, of course, it became a little bit harder in Russia to get something special. But still, if you're interested, if you want to support, to keep your experience of tasting, you can do that. Because we have a lot of clubs with fanatic people who are making special lineups and giving people to try different tastes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and in that phase, let's say before you start traveling to Scotland, what is the distillery you liked most, or what kind of whiskey was the best for you in that time?
You know, I think this is common for all people who are discovering some new world for them. With each new whiskey, with each tasting, they find something new and they think, oh, now this is my favorite whiskey. Oh, no, this is my favorite
whiskey.
This is my favorite whiskey. Oh, everybody should have in their bar this bottle. But then, maybe half a year later, no, this is too simple. Yes. You need something else. So I started to have a list of whiskeys which everybody should have in their bars. And now when I see at this list, I'm just laughing. This is just funny thing. But when you're discovering something, this is really means for you have some arguments, you understand that this is outstanding. This is the best price quality or price taste relation for this liquid. So you must have it or something like that. So you know that basically, a lot of people starts with peaty whiskey because peaty whiskey is something which completely different from all other drinks, from all other alcohol. And so when you try peated whiskey, whether you like it or some don't like from the very beginning, but if you like it, you became attracted to whiskey because this is what you cannot find anywhere else. And then people go to sherry whiskies because they find sherry whiskies and they think, yeah, peated is good. Some people just keep on the peated whiskey for all their life. They just drink it. But then if you evolve, you find sherry whiskies and you think that sherry whiskies, sherry bombs or something like that, this is just outstanding. This is what you like. And then you come to ex-bourbon whiskey. And then you understand how the basis, the new make spirit, can shine through the long maturation in ex-bourbon casks. A lot of people finish with ex-bourbon, which some beginners think this is too simple, this is nothing, this is not what we like, because you need some time to come to appreciate that simple, I don't know how to say.
I think the beauty in
the simplicity. Beauty, yeah. The simple beauty of nicely made spirit, nicely made whiskey new make, which evolved in ex-bourbon casks.
I agree. I think it's like when people start, and I see it all the time in my bar, you start with something very smooth and simple or something very bold because you're not educated enough to feel the nuances.
Right.
So you want one taste, either very, very mild or very, very strong. And then people start to move to the middle. Let's say, I think Laphroaig is a very good whiskey for beginners, Laphroaig 10, because it's like one very big taste. And then, even if not talking about, let's say, very, very aged whiskeys, but for example, I think Oban is a very good example for very elusive fluid. You need to look at it in a magnifying glass to find the small taste. So I really agree. And in what point you started going to Scotland to visit distilleries?
That was maybe 2 years after I started drinking whiskey. I decided that I should understand where all that comes from. So there was no other way than to go to distilleries to understand what is going there. Why they make such beautiful things and how they do that. Mm-hmm. And so I think...
Wait a minute, sorry. One more question. Was Scotland was the biggest love, or you had like also something with Irish whiskey or bourbon or rye or something like that?
I started with the Scotch, of course. But then first I visited Scotland, and then I was interested in all countries, not depending on the way they make whiskey. Maybe it could be not the traditional way like in Scotland or something like that, because it's also very interesting. Because when I went to Scotland, I discovered another world, a world of beautiful people making mm-hmm. whiskey. And I understood that whiskey is just the second thing in this world. The first one is just people you talk to. That's unbelievably devoted, interesting, nice, and people you want to communicate eternally. Just they understand you, you understand them. So it's a kind of community you like to be in. So whiskey is just a mean, just an instrument mm-hmm. in being in that community and enjoying nice taste, but also enjoying communication with the outstanding people.
I agree.
And such people, they're everywhere. So I was also in Ireland, in Japan, in Taiwan. I visited European distillers in Belgium, in Germany. So now today I just visited M&H, mm-hmm. Milk and Honey Distillery in Israel. So that's people of the same blood, and nothing. I don't know whether it's something to do with whiskey, but maybe just good people goes to whiskey or something like that. But that's a separate enjoyment, joy, just to talk to that people, to see how they're devoted to their profession, what they're doing, as well as the whiskey connoisseurs, the same. They're very nice guys everywhere in the world, ready to help you. And I like that not less than the liquid itself.
Yeah, I think it's like we're all big fans of the same football club.
Yeah, right.
So everywhere around the world, if you like whiskey, you will find someone who likes whiskey, so the conversation starts like that.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so sorry, going back to Scotland. So you started visiting Scotland.
Yep.
So please share with us, like, places you've been, special experience. Like, what's the most special experience you remember from visiting a distillery?
There are different kinds of distilleries in Scotland. There are distilleries which are owned by multinational companies with a lot of rules, with a lot of limitations. You cannot make photos. You should follow certain paths. You cannot go mm-hmm. out of the group or something like that. And on the contrary, there are distilleries where you can do everything you want. Just walk in the steel house and do everything you want, which is strange. I don't know whether I have to mention the name of the distillery because that may harm them. But that was an outstanding experience when you are free, when you're asking questions, when you are walking around, when you're touching everything. That's very nice. There are very different experience in terms of tasting. Somewhere you just limited by standard editions, and that's all. Somewhere you have a lot of options for you to taste. So, in general, not speaking about the management of the customer centers, of the guest centers, I should say that we always manage to find understanding, to find a lot of nice people answering your questions. And I understand how difficult it is when you have all the day some strange, a little bit drunk guys asking you something. Later, when I started to put some things on paper, I mean on virtual paper, because I started to write articles in the internet, it became easier because some companies advocated for me just to have some right meetings, to talk to master distillers and so on. I was able to receive much more detailed information, which I was interested in. A lot of technical things, which I was interested in. But in general, it's always a kind of serious study, which is goes together with the joy of communication and drinking nice things. I should say that for me, the most important experience was my week at Springbank Distillery.
My next question was, and I would like to say thank you to Shai Gilboa, who is our mutual friend, that you were in Springbank School with him, and he made the match between us. So thank you so much, Shai. So Springbank School, and I should mention I had a guest here, a guy from Israel named Zev, who was in Springbank School and talked about it, but I would like you to give us your impression.
Yeah, this is the working museum. So everything is done manually, the old machinery, and you just see there the process physically, how everything happens. And very nice people there. You can talk with Moltmann on all the issues of whiskey making. He knows everything, so they're quite educated. They like what they do. And of course, working there was very nice experience. I think I will repeat the experience of working at the distillery now, because we now in Russia we also have a distillery which invited me to work there.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah.
What is the name of the distillery?
The name is Kemla. They are now trying to follow the also Scottish traditions, mm-hmm. and so they are now starting to make a classical type of whiskey. But at the distillery, this is the time you really enjoy near the warm copper on the warehouses, and imagine Springbank warehouses with all that outstanding whiskey in casks, which you can touch and try and so on, and a lot of questions. You see all the process. So this was the most educative thing. But also, when you study a lot of things, also by archives and talking to distillers and warehouses managers, and you just find some questions which usually people do not ask. So you receive more detailed questions. You skip that simple introductory things, mm-hmm. and start to talk directly about the interesting things. Like today we talked with Tomer about STR casks, mm-hmm. Which I am very interested in. And so that helps just to communicate quicker. The more experience you have, the more information you can receive from the first hands, which is most important, because, you know, in the whiskey industry, especially in the Scottish whiskey industry, you always there was look and learn policy. Not a lot of things are put on the paper. Of course, now they have Scotch Whiskey Institute and so on. They made a lot of studies which are usually not available to everybody. It's inside the industry. But on the distillers itself, it was always look and learn. So visiting distilleries, it was very important in terms of talking to people, looking and learning.
So let's say other than Springbank, what was a distillery that you were very impressed from the visit there because of, let's divide the question to two, okay? One, the distillery itself and the liquid, and two, the people.
That's nice that you put the question in that way, because I should say that, for example, Tamatin Distillery, I was very impressed. Once it was a biggest distillery in Scotland, and now it is not the biggest distillery, but you can see that from there. You can see the some old things there also. Old now, it's, I mean, 70s.
Yes.
It was very interesting to for me to be there to see. They have mesh tun just cut in two pieces, and you can go into the mesh tun and see everything, how it is made. They had this old automation of 70s because they made the renovation at that period when they became the biggest. That was very interesting technical experience. I should also say that, for example, in Ireland at Waterford Distillery. The Waterford Distillery itself, it's a new distillery built out from beer brewery, beer plant.
I think it was it belonged to Guinness.
They bought it. But adjacent, they have the old plant. And it was also very interesting. It's not working, but still it's like a museum of brewing industry. It was also just outstanding, amazing to see all that things and compare it with the modern plant which Waterford is there. In terms of personalities, I cannot forget Glen Scotia with Ian McAllister, who is outstanding distiller, just devoted fully to what he's doing, loving his work, just an outstanding person. It's difficult to give just one example because we had a lot of meetings with outstanding guys, but Ian McAllister, definitely, it's one of the best impressions. On the other hand, from Tamatin Distillery with some examples of the last century for the equipment, we're coming to the new Macallan Distillery, which was just a very special experience of how you can build a new modern distillery. Let's say like a Disneyland, you know. Everything is made for tourists just to see how everything works, and outstanding design of the building itself, hidden in the nature and so on. That was also very interesting. So basically you can find every or small Ben Romach distillery. Just every distillery, you have a lot of things in common in terms of technology and so on, but each distillery has its own soul, atmosphere. You just have to feel it. And
I agree. I think it's something that's also true about the liquid itself.
Yep.
Every distillery has its own magic, its own place, and something unique about it. And you can enjoy everything. You don't have to choose.
In
this way, I think today's market is simply amazing because we almost everywhere you can get almost everything. So it will only be probably a question of budget and not of accessibility. Unlike, let's say, 20 years ago, when accessibility was the hard part of knowledge and of liquid. Today, it's a lot easier. I know it's a difficult question, but I have to ask it. What is the most amazing liquid you had when you visited the distillery? If you have to choose one, let's say two or three, something that blew your mind.
This is very simple answer because I tried dozens and dozens of outstanding whiskey straight from the casks at many warehouses and so on. But really what I appreciate, what I have in my mind, is just a simple bottle of Laphroaig Select in front of Laphroaig Distillery when the malting floors were working, the kiln was working, and before that we visited several distilleries on Isla already, and we were just sitting, I was just sitting with my friends in that kind of fog, with the smell of peat, because peat reek was going out of the kiln, okay. And just enjoying.
Say in Hebrew, כשאומרים peat reek, מתכוונים לעשן שעולה מהקיln. Just explain what is the reek, because it's not a word common.
And we were just relaxed and enjoying very simple whiskey. Mm-hmm. And that was just outstanding timing for very simple whiskey and simple relations in between several friends, and that what I understand that Laphroaig Select is a very simple one, so it's not that something you it's cheap, but even though I tried very very expensive whiskies, I still remember the drum in front of Laphroaig Distillery and seeing at the sea. So
I think this is the answer of a real connoisseur, the ability to appreciate the moment the whiskey is a part of and not just the whiskey itself, and I'm really glad that's your answer. That's great. I think that's
thank
great.
Thank you.
So when did you decide you're going to write a book about whiskey?
I was thinking about that for quite a long period, because I started writing something, I don't remember, maybe in 2017 or something like 2018, something like that, because there were a lot of questions people were asking, the same questions in different chats, conferences. People were asking the same questions, and I thought maybe it's nice to summarize something what I know, you know, in order to make their way into whiskey faster, just to help them to understand some basics. And I started to write about what is peat, how the malt is peated, then I also some about Patterson crisis, about sherry cask, and all the things which everybody is interested in. And after some period, I decided maybe I should put something, all that together, all that together. But it's a big work, so I had no time for that. But last year, I decided to just resign and to spend some time making, following my dream, you know, making all that together.
So you left your job for
yes, this? Yes, I had to do that, because that was a hard work, 10, 12 hours every day, just making the book in Russian and making the book in English. That's
So you wrote in the same time, you wrote in both
First
languages?
I wrote in Russian, but then the proper translation, the proper transition of the book into English, it took maybe even more time than writing the Russian one in the Russian language. I finished it not long before it was published on Amazon on February, just February 1st. Mm-hmm. So
congratulations, yeah. It's very fresh.
Yeah, it's very fresh.
So I will give you, the listeners, a link in the episode's description to the book in Amazon.
Yeah, thank you. And but Russian book was published early in the beginning of November last year, and so I finished with the English one. So I thought that my mission is over for that. So I'm quite happy that I out of this burden, I am not have to sit every day at the table.
Yeah. For me, you know, sometimes when I do an episode, actually I recorded an episode 2 days ago, and in the most episodes it's only me, so I have like a few corners, and the history corner was about Glen Scotia. So I'm very, very excited that you said what you said about the distillery. Sometimes I'm writing the episode before recording it, and I just wanted to be over with. So I think, okay, so this is just an episode. This is a whole book, and you say a burden. So I really sympathize with that feeling. And how did it go, first of all, in Russian?
Yeah, it was accepted very good to my mind. You should understand that this is not a book of impressions or something like that. I had to study a lot of materials. This is not just the thing I got from people talking at distilleries. That was an important experience. But besides that, you have to go into chemical things, mm-hmm. into biology things, a lot of history, some legal things, to understand what was the sequence of laws, because laws, they form the industry everywhere, basically. So there were a lot of paperwork and a lot of studies which I made before, which I had to remember again, sometimes to reread, sometimes to rewrite, and all that stuff. So it was accepted quite good, but this is a handbook. This is not just a personal book, something like that. This is a book I wanted to have when I started my way into whiskey.
So I want to tell the listeners the name of the book is?
The Concise Encyclopedia of a Whiskey Connoisseur. Okay.
So this is an encyclopedia.
Yeah, this is a handbook.
I think, so I'm saying this so people understand. This is an encyclopedia. Ordered in an alphabetic order,
yep.
of terms and other things that are important. This is not like a diary of your travels or something like that. So I can say that for me, this is amazing, and you were very kind of giving me a book. I intended to buy one anyway, but so maybe I will as a present for a friend. So let's say, for example, I just opened the book. In the letter H, and the first thing I see is heart/middle cut/spirit run. So here I have a whole page, a whole paragraph about what is the heart. So if I forget, I want to make a quick fact check for myself, I have this book to help me to understand this specific, let's say, term. Is there anything, you mentioned the patents and the crush. Is there or patents and yep. a crisis? Is there like parts about specific historic events in the book also?
Yes, yes. I think that there are more than 300 articles wow. there, and basically, what I tried to do, I tried to give some things, some points explained, and then to add some interesting facts to that. Which I experienced myself, if I have any relations to that. What I saw, what I know, but basically first you have some explanation of some point, technical or legal or historical, and then some interesting facts which are related to that, which might be interesting to connoisseurs from my experience, in order to make it more entertaining, not so dry, like just a usual encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm. And is it all your production, or you had someone help you, or something like that, like a partnership or something?
No, that's mine, and I wrote that even in disclaimer that this is my studies and my understanding, and one person always may have some shifts in understanding and so on, though I did my best to be neutral mm-hmm. and objective. Of course, there could be some things which other people understand in other way, especially mm-hmm. regarding whiskey, where some things do not have the same explanation for everybody. Mm-hmm. And they are different at different points and so on. This is basically my book, and it has a long list of literature which was used to make it also. So this is not based on my thinking. This is based on some scientific studies also and scientific researches which are used as a basis.
Okay, I will explain in Hebrew. Alexei מראה לי פה את הרשימה של ההפניות השונות שמהן הוא לוקח. זאת אומרת, יש פה רשימת מקורות מאוד מאוד גדולה. אני בתור סטודנט להיסטוריה מאוד מאוד מתרשם מזה. When I opened this bar, which is 10 years ago, I was close to the end of my first degree in history, and I thought that I would open a bar and come here like two or three times a week and just sit down and have a beer and watch the business run, and I would make my second and degree in history and maybe become a doctor or professor or something like that, which obviously didn't happen because you can't run a business and, you know, do everything whatever you like. So I look at it as a history student and appreciate how big the reference list is. Did you, when you started to write the book, did you have like a list of the topics you wanted, or did it keep changing and you said, ah, okay, I have to add this one, or I have
to sometimes I had some list which I wanted to cover, but when you start to writing, you understand that you should cover this term also and another term also. And but though it's based on scientific researches and so on, definitely this is not a scientific work in terms of giving notes to each fact which is mentioned there, because if I start to do that, the book will be twice bigger. And I had to write it at least 3 years or something like that. It's the scientific work is a very special thing. So I decided just to make it easier for me also and easier for readers, because reading completely scientific work is also a work. It's not entertaining. It's quite difficult. So whiskey connoisseurs, is a kind of people who are not usual consumers, which they need more information, but they are not scientists to work with some a lot of chemical things and biological things and physical things and so on. So this is a compromise, but I think that is what could be quite useful for a person's for a person who looks for something more than usual, for more than tales, and have some critical mind.
Okay, and so you're finished with the book.
Yep.
Now what? What's your next move? Your next step?
Oh, now I'm traveling. Okay. But I think about that now. What to do? Definitely, I think it will be somehow related to whiskey and. To the mature the alcohol, because sometimes you just have your hobby to become your business or something like that. That's what I'm thinking about.
And going back to that Russian distillery,
yep.
Where is it in Russia?
It's in Mordovia region, in Kemla city, let's say town, something like that. Yeah, now in Russia there are two distilleries which use, which have big copper pot alambics, doing the normal kind of whiskey you make. But it's also related to some laws and to the point how people are ready to invest and wait for, because not everybody is ready to wait for 10 years to make your whiskey.
I think it's something that maybe I don't know, because I've never been to, but Russia is well known for making and drinking vodka, which you don't have to age. And I can tell you that in Israel, when you make something and now you have to wait, Israeli people are not good at waiting. We don't like lines and we don't like waiting. We'd like everything to happen right now. Chop, chop. So also, okay, good thing about Israeli whiskey, because it's hot, it matures quickly. So at least that. Do you think that, let's say, in a few years you'll take the book and make like a second edition or something like that with more?
It could be so, because the world is changing, a lot of new facts, something should be maybe corrected or updated. That's what's usually done with encyclopedias, just to update and to correct some things like that. So maybe I will have to do that.
So is there any other spirit you like to drink other than whiskey you think about going in that direction as a project, or whiskey will remain your main thing?
I think whiskey will remain the main thing anyhow, because I came to whiskey as the last point. Mm. I think there are a lot of nice spirits, depending on what you look for or what you want. Cognacs, Armagnacs, aged Calvados, some aged Rhum. Mm. It could be, there are a lot of interesting things in the world of aged spirits and so on. But still, all that spectrum which you can get from a whiskey, I don't find any other liquid which could give you such a wide spectrum of everything, started from peated to ex-bourbon, different finishes, different kind of maturation in tropical climate, in cold climate. So I see, basically, I know that every advocate for any kind of drink, for cognac also, they think that it's the best drink. But I find a lot of arguments for whiskey to call it the most interesting spirit.
Okay, Alexei, I'm in your team regarding that. Absolutely, yes. Okay, so I told you that I would take 40 minutes of your time, and we're already a bit past that. So one final question. Because you visited so many distilleries, in the New World distilleries, where did you find the best experience in distilleries, not in Scotland, Ireland, or Japan, for example, or the US?
I should say that it depends on what you are looking for, because I was also that there are a lot of interesting craft distilleries, for example, in Canada. Also, I have never been to Australia, but I would like to. But I find some whiskey from Australia is very interesting, and so on. And of course, Taiwan experience is very just two. Now there are more than two distilleries there. But both Kavalan and Omar, the TTL distillery, they're making very interesting spirits in that kind of environment. So I think that in general, people who are interested in whiskey should come to tasting without any prejudice, just tasting everything they could reach to find something interesting and uncomparable, or some specific, without thinking that only Scotch is whiskey, only Ireland, Irish whiskey is good, Scotch whiskey is good, or something like that. In the United States, even when I visited some distillers, they had a very interesting experience of mixing, for example, bourbon, rye whiskey, and Irish whiskey together.
Really?
That's unbelievable blends, mm-hmm. which I never thought could work together, but it worked. Or some finishing of rye whiskey in sherry casks. Sometimes it works, sometimes not, but it's everything is very interesting. So the world of whiskey is now so great, so multidimensional, mm-hmm. That you never know what you can meet on the way in it. You have just go with open mind and grab everything you can touch.
Okay, I think that would be a very good message for the listeners to finish our episode with. Just be with an open mind and grab everything you can and try, and you never know what you like. Thank you so much, Alexei, for coming and sharing your time with me and the listeners. And thank you for the book. I will put a link in the podcast for people to... there's no problem to order to Israel the book, right? Okay, and I would like to thank again Shai Gilboa for making our acquaintance and helping this mutual time to happen. And thank you so much. I hope you enjoy your visit in Israel.
Yeah, it's very much.
Your first time in Israel?
Yes, the first time.
Okay, so I hope not the last one.
I hope so.
I hope we all behave ourselves here, because sometimes, you know, in Israel. Yes. Okay, so I will move back to Hebrew now. אני רוצה ממש להגיד תודה לאלכסי. זה היה פרק מאוד מאוד מעניין. איזה איש מרתק עם כל כך הרבה ניסיון וגישה מעולה. אני חושב שזה, זאת אומרת, חוץ מלומר וויסקי זה כיף, הוא אמר את כל הדברים שאני מאוד מאוד מאמין בהם ומזדהה איתם, וזה תמיד הזדמנות טובה לשיחת וויסקי עם בן אדם משכיל. אני אקרא את הספר ואני כמובן אשים לינק בתיאור של הפרק לספר שלו באמזון, וזהו. Thank you so much, Alexei.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Omer.
Thank you. Bye bye.